When we first started making money, we were stupid with the money. We followed what everybody told us to do. We made lots of it, and we bought lots of stuff, and we ate out a lot. We were like going to expensive dinners, right? And now it was like, oh, okay, so now I can buy the name brand clothing, and now I can buy the name brand food like Heinz tomato ketchup instead of like Western Family tomato ketchup. We'd made every mistake that you could possibly make. You're like, wait a second, I'm buying Heinz. Is that a mistake? Yes, friend. You got to learn how to come out of consumerism and to not be lassoed around your neck by materialism if you truly want to be financially independent. Unfortunately, most people, the reason why they want to make more money is so they can buy all the expensive stuff, but they don't realize that this is the cycle that actually keeps them in debt. So we have a couple of questions that we're going to be answering here on today's show. So here's one question that was written in. Is it better to throw all your extra income towards paying off debt, or is it better to get out of debt before investing in cash producing assets? That really is up to you. I'm not the person that's in charge of your finances, but you're in charge of your finances. And so is it more important for you to put all your extra income towards debt so that you can feel the exhilaration of being completely debt-free? What's the main reason why you have for wanting to pay off your debt? Have you come to that place where you feel like you're totally being suffocated, where you feel like you're being tortured and tormented by a slave driver, and those slave drivers are Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Discover? Is it that you feel like someone is beating the living tar out of you and causing you to have no great vision for your future because of all the department store credit cards that you have or the medical debt that you're carrying? You see, I came to a place where enough was enough. It's so weird that when we first start this life of debt, it just starts like little by little. It's like the sneaky little thing that slips into our life that we don't realize is actually pulling the oxygen right out of our veins. We just learn to live with it, right? So we start with what? I remember the very first time buying a new car and financing it and thinking, oh my gosh, it's only $200 and some odd a month. This was a long time ago, by the way. But I remember feeling like, I'm getting such a good deal. And I never once thought about the fact that this is a brand new car that's losing 30% of its value the minute I drove it off the lot, and that I was going to pay for this sucker for 5 years. I was going to pay 2, 3, maybe 4 times more for this car than what it would be worth by the time it was at the end of the 5 years. I didn't even think about that. I didn't even add up how much interest I was paying on a monthly basis that could have gone towards something much more important than just my Hyundai, which, by the way, when those first came out, they were a hunk of junk and everyone knew it's kind of an embarrassment to drive one of those. But that's, hey, I could afford the $200 and some odd a month. Thought it was such a cool thing. But man, the more and more you do this, the more you feel the suffering of it. And so if you find yourself stressed out and you're worried about money, then your answer to your question should be obvious. Should you be putting all your extra income towards paying off your debt? What have you to gain for doing that? You gain a life back. You get a life back. I've had so many clients actually do this, friend, where they literally just went, all right. In fact, I've even had some of them start a little business that they're working from home, generating a few extra $100 a month, and then eventually turned into a few $1,000 a month, where they just said, okay, this business is for totally annihilating all of our debt. 100% of the work that we're doing with this little business here on the side is just going straight to all the credit card, the car payments, the medical bills, and the mortgage. We're just going to pay all this stuff down. So that was actually a motivation for them, that they had segregated that money to go towards this particular project. And when you start doing this, friend, I know it for me, when Hans and I started paying off debt, and this was like, it was almost like justice or something. I'm serious. It was like, yes. I felt like I was like some warrior with a sword in my hand. I'm like, I'm going to fight and I'm going to win and I'm going to slice down everything that is totally sucking the life out of me and my future. And what was it? Yeah, Walmart was sucking the life out of my future. Yes, my freaking habit of blowing cash on clothes and jewelry and shoes, even though I had a closet filled to the brim of all of it, that was sucking the life out of my future. Okay, here was another thing that was sucking the life out of my future. Yes, my eating habits. Hoy, yay, yoy. Yeah, spending $1,200 a month on food. This was sucking the life out of my future. This is why we were living paycheck to paycheck. This is why we were staying up at night worrying about money. This is why I was looking at the future and just seeing nothing but pain in the future. And so when we first started, it started to get fun. It did. And why? Because we had a plan. We had a plan that we were going to totally cut way back on what we were spending on food. And now all that money that we took our food budget to $1,200 to about half, about six, between $500 and $600 a month. And that included toilet paper. That included diapers at the time. Okay. So when we took that $500, $600 a month off, right? Then I was like, okay, bam. So I just felt like every time I was sitting, not making a minimum monthly payment, but putting $600 towards that car, I mean, towards that car payment and towards the credit cards, when I was taking that giant chunk and just attacking the debt, I felt like, I felt like Wonder Woman. Yeah, like, can you feel the steam? That's awesome. And friend, I want you to feel that. I really do. Hey, listen, have you heard about the 10-day battle plan? It'll totally help to give you that invigorated, oh, yeah, I'm a warrior and I'm going to fight, this thing that's been sucking the life out of my future. Go do it. Get a hold of the 10-day battle plan. And not only that, listen, friend, here's a free book. There's two chapters on debt, and I go through how we did it, like step by step, all the places where money was going that, again, was sucking the life out of my present and my future. Just totally lost my dreams because of why? Just all of this $100,000 in credit card and car debt. Just like buried. I feel like an elephant was sitting on top of my head. Get a hold of this. It's for free. You can download it right now on the website. First Steps to Wealth, Homeless to Millions, now giving millions away. You can do it. We'll continue after this. Have you just gotten used to living with debt? If the answer is yes, I'm going to smack you. Don't do that. That's what 98% of the population does. They end up dead or dead broke at the age of 65, living their lives like victims, when in all reality, they could have lived a life of debt freedom. We had a question from someone from our audience write in and say, Danny, do you believe in debt settlement? Yeah, I believe in debt settlement. But wait a second. What exactly are you talking about? Here's the kind of debt settlement I'm talking about. I remember a year after I was homeless. So just imagine this, okay? Just think about this for a second. There I am. I'm 21. I'm homeless. I have $35,000 in debt. I have somebody looking for my car, which is currently my home. It's where I'm living right then and there. I'm 50 pounds overweight. Life sucks. I was totally suicidal. My husband has like left, and now he's living with some other woman, and like he just left and he's living with some other woman 3,000 miles away. This was just like the most worst time ever in my life. And then add insult to injury. Yeah, I start sleeping around. I start smoking all kinds of weed. I'm stoned out of my mind constantly. I even smoked something else. I'm not going to talk about that. But anyway, so a year later, where do I find myself? Well, I started a business from the trunk of my car in a payphone booth as a homeless woman. And within my very first year, I made $250,000. So exactly to the day that I was from homeless to exactly 1 year later, December 7th, I put an offer on a house. What? That's how fast your life can turn around. That's how fast. When you get focused and you get determined and you use powerful skills that are available to you. In fact, you can find those skills on the website, DannyJohnson.com. You can find them in this free book, friend. You can download the ebook version of this big old book that shows you step by step by step how I started that business, how I turned an idea into $250,000 the first year, $1 million by the end of my second year. So here it is, 12 months to the day that I'm homeless, right? Listen. And I'm putting down $32,000 down on a house. My credit sucked. I had terrible credit. It was really bad credit. And guess what? Listen to this. So do I believe in debt settlement? Okay, so how am I going to get financed for $250,000 house? It's $259,000 house. Well, first of all, I worked diligently and I had cash. Cash is king. And that helps you to negotiate when it comes to settling your debts with other people. And so here I had $32,000 cash. And so then I needed to clean up my credit. And it's amazing how fast your credit can be cleaned up. That is, of course, if you want a mortgage, which I was stupid. I didn't realize that you could actually buy a house without having a mortgage. I didn't even entertain that thought. Listen, I was young. I was naive. And it was just, oh, you buy a house by getting someone else to lend you the money at 10%. Yes, the interest rate was 10% at that time. I didn't know any better. I didn't even know to shop around for a better interest rate. I didn't know anything about any of that. And mind you, it wasn't the greatest purchase that I made the first time, but debt settlement. So I had the mortgage guy says, hey, listen, you can actually call these people. You can settle out some of these debts, because I just ignored my bills. I did. I didn't even pay those bills at all that entire year. I just, every time it came, I burned it in my fireplace. I do not recommend doing this at all. Unfortunately, I was also taught to do that, and that was like dumb. I don't recommend doing that. But nonetheless, so here comes the year that I want to get a mortgage for my house. And the guy tells me that I need to call and I need to settle these accounts with these people. So I do. So I make the first phone call and I say, hey, listen, I owe you $5,200. And I would like to see what it is that we can do to have this cleared off of my credit. And they say, well, there's nothing you can do to clear it off your credit. This is already a mark on it. There's nothing we can do about it. I said, well, gosh, I'm just wondering if there's somebody else that I can talk to there at your office, because either you're going to get the $5,200 or somebody else is going to get the $5,200. You might not be aware of this, but I owe a lot of people a lot of money, and I got a big wad of cash burning in my pocket, and someone's gonna get it, and the only one that's gonna get it is someone who is willing to work with me on my credit. And so I literally went person by person, bill collector by bill collector, and gave that same exact presentation. And so, and I also negotiated the amount that I owed them down, asked them to take the interest off, or at least split it halfway with me. I even ended up negotiating where some of them was a $5,000 bill that I owed, and said, I can give you $3,000 right this minute if you are willing to take this off of my credit card and for this to be canceled completely, meaning I'm going to give you $5,000 and I owe you no more. Now, some people were takers of it and some people weren't. Some I was even able to negotiate even further down. The bottom line is bill collectors generally make a commission and they get bonus on how many, yes, accounts receivable that they can clear. And so they're motivated to get some kind of money versus no kind of money. And they want to see accounts settled immediately. And so don't just be thinking from the perspective that they're the ones with the whole upper hand, because they're not the ones with the whole upper hand. And then you and I need to get into discussion further about even your credit, like whoever developed that. Yeah. Credit scores. Why don't you do a little bit of research about where those originated from and why? Who were the people that created all the buzz about credit scores to the point that now there are apps willing to tell you what your credit score is? I can tell you this. People who become financially independent never worry about their credit score. Yes, those who eventually become successful, financially independent, financially free people were not driven by their credit score. So, especially millionaires and billionaires. No, meaning when they were broke, they were not driven by their credit score. But I will tell you, the ones that are giving out that score are banks. Banks who are telling you you need to be in debt in order to build credit. Yeah, you want the real kind of credit. You want cash. Loan yourself the money, friend. Loan yourself the money. You become the bank for someone else. Quit living the life of debt. It's time to step up, rise up, think bigger, better, and different about money than the way you're currently doing it right now. So do I believe in debt settlement? You betcha. Negotiate, negotiate, negotiate. Find out what they want and negotiate halfway. You can get it wiped off your credit score. My entire credit score was changed, boom, like that. And I did not have to pay all $35,000 back. I paid significantly less. This is Dani Johnson. We'll continue with more after this. Have you, like, put all of your trust for your financial future in the hands of somebody else who says they are a trusted financial advisor and they've told you to put your money in a 401k? Is that you? Is that your plan for your retirement? Is that the plan for your financial future? Well, listen, if you have done that, don't try to read into what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. You need a different plan. You need more than just that. At least it's a good start, and I'm proud of you for doing that. But I recently had somebody write in a question, should I borrow money from my 401k to pay off debt? Think about this. How much of a return are you making on your 401k right now? Yearly. What is your yearly return on your 401k, right? So you put in $200,000. How much more is it worth after year one? I think I heard you laugh. right? So figure out what the percentage is that your 401k is growing. Now, I want you to look at how much your debt is costing you. How much is your debt costing you? You know the answer. You're like, you know the answer, friend. It's a minimum of 18.9%. And in some cases, some of those credit cards are like in excess of 30%, right? So from anywhere from 18 to 30% is what you're paying on the debt. That's the extra money that it's costing you, right? So it's not a dollar you're paying back. You're paying $1.18 or $1.30. So if you're not making 18 to 30% return on your 401k, but that is what you're bleeding out financially because of the interest rates on your credit cards, I think a simple person knows the answer. Yeah. Yeah, it might be a really good idea to look into what kind of penalties will there be if you do so. But it's just a numbers game. That's all it is. So if you would like to have an 18.9% to 30% return on every dollar, then pay off your credit cards because you are paying that much in interest. But if you pay off your credit cards and you get out of debt, now you are keeping that 18.9 to 30%. You're keeping that in your own pocket. You're no longer giving the banks $18 for every $100. You're no longer giving them 18 cents for every $1 that you are writing a check to pay off your credit card or to just make your minimum monthly payment. You no longer are doing that. You're now keeping that money. So then you have to ask yourself, then what do I do with that money? Yeah, right? Now you can take that money that once you've paid off your debt, now you got all that money that's used to going towards debt that now is yours. What should you do with that money? You should then be very wise in looking for places that have a better return than even your 401k. I think a 401k is a good, safe way to go. It's like one of those, sort of. I can't even say it's totally safe because I have family members who worked really, really hard pouring money into Social Security and their 401k. And when it came time to retire, guess what? The 401k had been losing money year after year after year, and they did not pay attention to the fact that it was losing it. And so when it came time to retire, they had to work a whole nother 10 more years just to get it to the place of where it was just before the market had crashed. Sucks to be them. That doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be you at all. You can do things like what some of my children are doing. They are buying houses. In fact, one is about to become a bank for someone else to buy a house. Friend, listen to me. You can be doing so many different things that if you're willing to learn, you're willing to work, you're willing to grow, and you're willing to make mistakes, you could probably learn to manage your own money. In fact, I have to tell you, I've been really, really blessed. My husband, Hans, who grew up on the streets, who grew up as a kid who was bullied, the small, short, blonde kid living in Hawaii, with a mom who was gone a lot and an alcoholic. Friend, listen to me. He managed to learn how to manage money. In our first 10 years, we were stupid financially. We went into debt. We had credit cards. We had car debt. And we kept living this high life when we shouldn't have been living a high life. That we were not ready to live a high life. What was the proof? We were financing the high life. We were financing it. We could have had a plenty good life without ever going into debt a single time. And because we went into debt, that's how we ended up living paycheck to paycheck. Because when you add up all those credit cards, you add up the mortgage, you add up all the cars that you have on payments, pretty soon, what do you have? You're just like, every check is already spoken for, and who's getting all the money? The banks are getting all the money. Instead of you enjoying some of the fruit of your labor, you are now a slave. Tied to the bank. So you have to ask yourself the question, why are you asking me if you should borrow against your 401k? If you are at that place in your life that you hate debt as much as I do, well, then that's a simple answer. And if your 401k is not earning you 18 to 30% return, then that's a simple answer. Even with whatever the penalties are, hello, that's a simple answer. It's a very simple answer. And maybe even negotiate with your place of employment of other options that you might have instead of a 401k.